Patagonia is a place that I tell people that they should have time. They should be, open to things to happen. We can plan everything, but there's other plan that Patagonia has for you.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by EcoChile, a one-stop shop for planning custom trips to Chile and Argentina. So stay tuned for more from them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome back, and thank you for being here. If you have ever dreamt about traveling to Chile, which if you listen to this podcast, you probably have, maybe specifically Patagonia, or maybe you heard my episodes on Easter Island or have other ideas about Chile or even Argentina, you're definitely going to want to put on your daydream earbuds and stay to the end today, because here with me in studio, well, I suppose he's across a continent from me, but it's all the same, is my friend Christian Morrison, who is from Chile and happens to be the founder of a company called EcoChile, which is a travel company that puts together absolutely everything you could possibly dream of for your travels in Chile and Argentina, as in not just the cool tour that you dream about doing in Patagonia, but also plane tickets and airport transfers and hotels and all of the in-between things and everything. And we have a special discount to offer you if you book with them, which we will share at the end of the episode. So let's get ready to take our minds on a little adventure trip to Chile with the help of Christian. So Christian, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you.
Hola, Jackie. How are you? Thank you for the intro. That was amazing. And it's Eco Chile and Eco Argentina as well. We just launched Eco Argentina 3 years ago. So we offer trips in both destinations.
Yeah, amazing. And
I'm in the other side of the world. I'm in Santiago now.
Yes. That's where you live, right? That's where you're based.
That's where I live at the moment. We are actually moving to Pucón, which is one of my dreams since I was little. And that's happening. We just found a place. So I will live between Santiago and Pucón, moving out between those two places.
Congratulations. If you guys don't know what Pucón is, there's a beautiful volcano there, lakes. It's popular for kayaking and it's a cool little town. Good for you. That's really exciting.
Thank you. You're in Montana?
I am. This is my home base. I'm between here and the rest of the world.
And the rest of the world.
Yeah. That's where I operate. Okay. Before we get started into you and your story, one thing I love to do on the show is to share with everybody where I met my guests, because almost all of you guys I've met somewhere traveling. So do you remember where we were, what we were doing when we met?
Are you going to tell them?
You're going to tell them.
Yes, I remember.
Where were we?
So we were in Switzerland, in Lugano, in the south of Switzerland, which is the Italian area of, they speak Italian in this place. And we were, because of the trade show, ATTA, Adventure Travel Trade Show. So that's where we met. I think it was 2022.
It was 2022, yeah. And we were on a bike trip for the day.
On a bike trip that, well, I'm not that as adventurous as Jackie. So for this trade show, you need to select an activity. It was the first time that I was attending. I didn't know that the spots, they fill up there very, very fast. So as an amateur, I went into the website to book my day of adventure. And I see that the things that were left were like I don't know, like yoga with the trees and the forest and stuff like that. And one of the things, it was mountain biking. So I don't do that very often. It was with an electric bike. So I sign up. And when I show up for this activity, I realized that most of people did mountain bike. People would bring their helmets, their, I don't know, like gloves and stuff, some of them. And so I was definitely the person with less experience there.
Yeah, but that's why we have e-bikes, right? You did it just like everybody else. We made it to the top of that mountain.
We made it to the top of the mountain, and then we had to go down. So there was a bit of the route that it was through the forest. And I fell. I was the only one that fell. Why did I fail? Because I was tired of my hands. You know, like when you go down for a long time, you get tired with your hands and a lot of rocks and stuff like that. And I wasn't so good at mountain biking. So I guess that was the reason, but it was very funny. It wasn't so bad. So
you should be proud of yourself, because that was above beginner level for sure. That downhill through the forest, I totally forgot about that. Actually, we were actually dropping like foot, there were like a, you know, we were dropping sections of like stairs, and so don't feel bad about yourself at all. You made it through with nothing but a scratch, so you're good.
The other ATTA that I went after that, there was Patagonia. I selected something more chill.
A little more chill. I had just come off of my PSA for that Switzerland trip also was a mountain biking trip, like proper downhill, like shuttling up the what are they called, gondolas, and doing downhill in the mountains. Like I had never done that before, so that whole thing was super intense for me. But by the time we got to the day adventure, I was kind of cruising, because you gain these muscles as you try them, you know, like you practice and you gain courage and you like get used to the turns and like little things. And I mean, I had only been doing it for a few days before that, but it really helps. It's amazing how quickly you can I guess learn a new thing. But that was your first day, so
yeah.
That was, yeah, no, I was really impressed with everybody. We had a lot of fun that day. I think that I think the thing I noticed about you first was your hair. If you guys are watching us right now, because this is on YouTube, you'll see that Christian has a big head of luscious locks, and I think like calls to like, you know, and so I noticed you immediately, like, oh, I think you had your hair like up on top of your head in this big bun, which is exactly how I wear it. So anyway, we were destined to be friends, and that was how we met, was mountain biking with our hair in Switzerland in 2022. And and now I actually just, if you listening listened to the Easter Island episodes that were several episodes back now, but yeah, that was, I did that through Christian's company, through EcoChile. And so I've gotten to travel with, I've gotten to experience what it feels like to be a customer of his. And I'm really excited for this conversation, because I know that we're going to get into some of these really cool destinations where we can travel in Chile. And to just know that, like, I'm recommending that my clients travel through you feels good to me, because I've been there and I know how nice it is and how smooth it is. And like, you don't have to think, like, it's just, it's wonderful. So anyway, Let's start with a little bit more about you and your background, and you know, how did you get into travel in the first place? Like, what is your story?
Okay, so I guess I would have to go back very, very on the beginnings, because I'm trying to figure out that as well at this moment in my life. And when I did this summer, something that I wanted to do for a long time is doing that whole Carretera Austral from the beginning to the end, and then all the way back. I've done this, like, bits of Carretera Austral before, but doing the whole thing. And at the end of the trip, we went to a place that I used to go when I was little. And that's like connecting the dots. I'm understanding why I love so much travel and I love so much wilderness. And so if I have to tell you how did it started, I guess... It started because of my family not much people know this, but my family is actually from Patagonia. It's my grandfather used to live in Punta Arenas, close to Punta Arenas, in an estancia that is called Laguna Amarga. And he was the administrator of this estancia. He was working for the Menendez family. And that's a very famous, if you read some books of Patagonia, you will know that this family was very influential and very famous in Patagonia. And so my grandfather was working there. And I used to hear a lot of stories of Patagonia when I was little. So I guess that's where it started. My dad, my auntie, everybody was talking about this place that I'd never been. And then my grandfather, he got another farm in the south of Chile where he starts Patagonia. That's the place that I went this summer. It's called Trapi. That is close to Lago Ranco, close to Osorno, to Puerto Montt. And in that place, I would spend every single summer. And I think that's the place where I started this connection with the vastness, the wilderness, and being like, you know, like in touch with the nature and the animals, the fauna. And then it was like camping with my dad in the south of Chile. We would go in the summers as well. And one trip in particular that was very meaningful was after I finished high school, I went with a friend that he does documentaries, and he told me, hey, do you want to go to do a documentary about lighthouses in Patagonia? And I was like, yeah, ooh, definitely, let's go. So we went there, and we went to Punta Arenas, and we got a permit to stay in Isla Magdalena, Magdalena Island, that is an island that is in front of Punta Arenas, that you're allowed to go there for a couple of hours. It's an island that has a colony of Magellanic penguin that you can see like 60,000 penguins in a small island. And we were allowed to stay there.
Yeah.
You've been there?
It's but beautiful. Only for a couple hours. So, yeah.
Exactly. So we got a permit from CONAF, that's the Service for National Parks in Chile. And we had the chance to stay in the lighthouse for 3 nights with the ranger. Yeah. So that was like, I think one of the trips that was really one of the reasons why I love so much traveling. And it was magical. Like, you are in this little island that there's one time in, like, they all go to bed, they all sleeping, you know? And
all
we would go to the, all the penguins, and we would go to the top of the lighthouse. And everything is so quiet. But at one point, one of the penguins start shouting, and then you see like a domino effect, and every penguin starts shouting, and you have all the 60,000 penguins shouting around you. It's powerful, like really, really powerful experience, and understanding how they behave. We went in a time that the males were preparing the nests for the females that arrived after. So we would see them working hard to make those nests. And 3 days, you know, like after a while, you get to know them and even get names for them. So I don't know, that I feel like that was then. Well, I used to do, I still do a lot of hiking, but I used to do more than now. And then I studied tourism. And after that, I went to New Zealand for a while. I've worked in tourism in New Zealand and in Australia. And when I came back, I started the company with a friend from school. And with this friend, we started the company in a very like particular way that it was, we loved hiking. So we said, how can we like live on like doing hiking all the time? So what we found out that they were people from Europe and the States and Canada and Australia going to Chile to learn Spanish, like in maybe for 2, 3 months, 6 months, even people for a year. And so we would go to this like language schools to offer our trips. So that's how we started the
good
company.
Idea.
Yeah. So it was like very, how do you say, like, basic sort of marketing. We would go and do like flyers and cut them and go with it to the breaks of the class. and offer to the people, hey, let's go to Cajón del Maipo in the weekend, you know? Let's go climbing to Yerba Loca, all of the different national parks that you have surrounding Santiago. So that's how it started. And that thing, it turned out to those people being like a referral to other people that wanted to go to Chile. They would go back to their country and speak about us. And so we would start getting calls, emails of people that didn't want to go only to the surroundings of Santiago. So they wanted to go to Atacama, to Patagonia, Easter Island. And so that's how it was very organic, like how we started growing. And yeah, so now it's a company that organizes somewhere around 300 trips per year and everywhere in Chile and Argentina.
This is amazing. Organic is exactly the word I was going to use as well, because it stemmed from a real passion and you grew it with your two feet, you know, going out and talking to people. And what year was it that you started?
So it was 2011.
Okay. It's been
16 years. Yes. Already 16 years around that, 15 years.
I've looked at your, you know, all of the staff on your website, like multiple times, because we've worked together and whatever. But you have this page on your website with, you know, all the people that work on your team. And I can't help but notice that there are a lot of women. And I love that there's so many women on your team. I love that you're empowering women. So I'm just going to say, like, I think that's awesome. And also, I guess that wasn't a question. The question I have for you is, do you have like a company mission? You know, like, I know that you built it around your love for hiking and wanting to share that with people. But what is it that like keeps you going? What is it that you want people to know about Chile or Argentina when they book with you?
So the main mission, it would be to have people organizing trips where they can actually understand the territory. So being with the locals, being with local people and enough time so that they understand how people live there and what's the context of the place regarding sustainability or political things or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like if you go there and just stay and take a photo and then go to the next place, you don't understand the traditions. You don't understand, I don't know, like the landscape. You need to be a little bit longer to understand it. It's not that we don't organize trips for people that don't have enough time, for example. Sometimes we do it, but we do it in a way that it makes sense. So for me, the main purpose of the company is connecting people with the territory and the locals. So people from the States, from Canada, from Europe, from Australia, connecting them with a Chilean that lives in Caleta Tortel and understand how they live their life there.
That's my favorite
thing.
That's
the type of thing that, you know, we are looking for. And that's what we try to communicate in the website and everything we do. Because it's just so important to do that. Otherwise, why you would do it?
It changes the trip entirely. Because the reason for the quick answer to that question you just asked, otherwise, why would you do it? Is just to go see something, right? It's kind of to go see something and check it off your list or whatever. However, the second that you open yourself up to connecting with a local that comes from that place who can bridge that gap for you and share with you history and culture and tradition and even just the language barrier sometimes for you know, a lot of people. But it completely changes the dynamic, because instead of just going and looking at it and seeing it like from the outside, you become part of it and it becomes part of you. And I, having experienced this on Easter Island with our guide, it blew our minds, because here we arrive on Easter Island and we knew that we had every bit of that trip taken care of, right? I mean, your company took really good care of us. And our guide, Toquerao, he picked us up at the airport, and we didn't know if it was going to be our guide or like a transfer service. Nope. He took care of absolutely everything for us, you know? And because we spent three almost entire days with him in his company and just got to listen to him tell his stories and share about his life. I mean, I feel like this is not where Easter Island used to be, just like this mysterious island out in the middle of the Pacific. And I remember what my images in my brain were of it, you know, like no trees and big rocks and like, what's up with this place, you know? And now I see it like through the eyes of our guide almost. And he, not only did he bring us into like his family and his culture and the way that he grew up and all of that, but he brought us into the island, you know? And like we understood how important the actual like geological landscape is, like for what goes on there, and the history with Chile and with the other islands in the region. And it was just so much more than we realized we were getting. And it really, like, it, I would say, it just, it makes you feel like you've earned more of it, you know? I mean, it's the same thing as like when you spend a week hiking through a place. It's very slow travel, right? And it's like it becomes, you absorb it into you. And I think the same thing happens when you have a guide with you, because you get this whole other side of a trip that if you're on your own, which, I mean, there's really nothing wrong. Like, there's nothing wrong with traveling by yourself. Of course, I've done it a lot. But when you have a guide, when you have that, when you can tap into that local culture, language, tradition, history, story, day-to-day, everything, it just changes so much of the trip. I never used to travel with guides. And now I'm like, please go with a guide. It'll change everything. You know, I mean, people think that they have an idea about what it's going to be with guides, but guides are magical. A guide can just incredibly make a trip for you. So I agree. All of that was to say, I love that. And I agree.
Totally. I agree as well. Especially in a place like Australia, you need to go with somebody that can tell you what it means, what you're looking. So if you go and see Moai on your own,
like, yeah, you have no idea.
You would have to do a lot of reading before that. And it's not the same as if you go with a guy that is from the island and his family is from there and he has mm-hmm. the roots from there. So I agree there's some places that you could go out a guide. We do that, for example, in some areas in Carretera Austral Road, there's a lot of self-guided trips that we do. However, there's places that we'd really recommend to go with a guide.
Along the Carretera Austral? Okay.
Along Carretera Austral and other places in Chile.
Okay. Let's talk about that, because first of all, we've got to kind of go back to step one, and I think we need to say this name quite slowly so that people understand what we're talking about. So the Carretera Austral means the Southern Highway in Spanish, and it's actually the road that, so if you drive down, let's call it the Pan American Highway, because that's what you're going to, we'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Let's talk about a new bag from Osprey that's getting awards and lots of hype, the Scuffle. What in the world is a scuffle? Well, if you put square and duffel together, you get scuffle, which is exactly what this bag is, a square-shaped duffel. Now, just to be clear, when it's all zipped up, it's rectangular and easy to carry with its stowaway backpack straps. But the coolest feature about this bag is that you not only have the option of opening it via the U-zip panel access to the top, but you can also unzip all the way around the perimeter of the bag, opening it up like a clamshell, which creates a square. If you need help imagining this, go to osprey.com and check out the Scuffle. That's S-Q-U-F-F-E-L to see this magic that I'm talking about. I love the clamshell option because I am a very organized packer. And with everything in its proper packing cube, I can further organize by packing clothes on one side of the clamshell and gear and toiletries on the other. There are zip dividers to keep the contents of each side secure, and these dividers are roll away if you prefer not to use them. I love a good versatile bag, and that's exactly what the Scuffle is. It comes in both 44 and 70 liter sizes, so you can carry it on or check it if you want. The zippers all slide super smoothly, which is important to me. It has burly webbing grab handles on every side. Its Blue Sign approved Nano Tough exterior is remarkably strong and highly water resistant, so it's absolutely worthy of being thrown into the back of a pickup truck full of hockey gear for an away tournament. And when you get to said tournament and realize the rain leaked through the shell of the back of the truck, you'll
You'll be relieved that only your hockey gear is wet, not your clothes that were packed safely and securely inside your new scuffle. I wish I could say I wasn't speaking from experience on that one, but that is exactly why the scuffle gets full approval from me and two thumbs up. You can find the scuffle and all the packing cubes that fit perfectly inside it at osprey.com. Are you interested in traveling to Patagonia or anywhere else in Chile or Argentina? Of course you are. I have good news, not so good news, and great news for you. The not so good news is that it's often logistically super challenging to plan trips to certain destinations in Chile and Argentina because of advanced permitting, limited capacity, vast distances between locations, border crossings, and a myriad of other bureaucratic issues. The good news is that my friends over at ecochile.travel and ecoargentina.travel can handle all of these logistics for you and help you plan the trip of your dreams. They are local, they know the systems, they speak the language, they also speak English, and building custom trips is what they do. I've traveled with EcoChile before. I actually went to Easter Island through them on my last trip to Chile, and I was mind blown at how well I was treated as a traveler. The amount of support and materials they provided me made me feel like I was in such good hands. And for me, being the one who usually does all the planning, oh my goodness, it feels so good to be taken care of, like to the last little detail, especially because I had not been to Easter Island before. I trusted their expertise and my experience was even better than I imagined. Whether you know exactly what you want to experience in a destination or you don't, EcoChile will work with your interests, travel style, budget, time frame, and take care of every piece of your itinerary that you want them to handle. Think nature, hiking, wildlife, boutique lodges, road trips, local culture, and real connection with the destination, all while having reliable logistics and support throughout your entire trip. That's what EcoChile provides. And the great news is that when you go to ecochile.travel or ecoargentina.travel to book with them, you can receive 5% off your trip. Just select Traveling Jackie in the inquiry form or mention me in your email, phone, or WhatsApp message. Go to ecochile.travel and start your dream trip planning today. Don't forget to tell them Traveling Jackie sent you. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Think of, that's what everybody knows. If you drive to the end of the Pan American Highway on the Chilean side, you're going to arrive to Puerto Montt, where then the road gets cut by water and it continues to be interrupted by fjords and water all the rest of the way down the Chilean side. Of course, you can cross over into Argentina. You can drive Route 40. And you can ultimately you end down in Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego. However, there is this incredible section of southern Chilean Patagonia. Well, of Chilean Patagonia, I should say. It's the entire length of Chilean Patagonia. They call it the Carretera Austral. If you listened, oh man, this is going to test me. I think it was back in like episode around 89 or 90. It was something way back there. I actually did this trip with my friend Ford, and this was like 8 years ago. And so if you recall those episodes, that's also what we're talking about here. But I want to revisit this place because I still to this day feel like that trip, we spent like 3 weeks driving down. That was the freest I have ever felt. Like it's so amazing down there. Just getting on ferries, camping along the way, just driving at your own pace. And we didn't have a guide. But I would love to, I know you just got back from this trip. You just did this. And this was the first time you did it, right? The drive?
No, I've been to Carretera Austral many times. It's the first time that I do the whole way down. I did all the bits before, but it never all connected.
Yeah, okay. So this is where... And the cool thing about this is the logistics can be complicated for somebody coming from afar. And so this is another opportunity where you guys can help travelers who want to go do this, right? Because it's going to require renting a vehicle of sorts and getting, you know, the maps and recommendations. And so how did you do it? What did it look like? Like, what vehicle were you in and where did you guys stay and what did it look like for you?
Okay, so I did it with a four-wheel drive. That's a must. When you organize a trip with us, we will always get you a four-wheel drive. There's gravel in 50% of the trip if you do the same one I did. So yeah, that's one thing. I went with a Volkswagen Amarok that it's like a truck. How do you call that in English? It's like a pickup.
Yeah, a pickup truck. It's a small pickup truck, like a quarter ton. We don't have the Amarok in this country, but yeah,
in the States, that's small. In Chile, it's kind of bigger because you have really, really big trucks there. So I started in Puerto Montt, and I went all the way down to Villa O'Higgins. So that's the whole Carretera Austral. So that's the thing that I wanted to do for a long time. I've done it starting Puerto Montt and finishing in Coyhaique. That's halfway, or starting Coyhaique and going down. But yeah, so all the way down. And that's a drive that you will drive around 100 miles per day, something like that, if you think in miles. So it's some bits that you will drive a little bit longer. Maybe like the longest one, it would be like 200, 250, but that's the longest. If you design the trip with us, we wouldn't recommend driving longer than that. And stopping in different places, that all of these places have some attraction or a national park, and spending one or two nights in each place. Yeah. So for somebody that never heard about this place, maybe some of the places that you might hear, it's Patagonia National Park, then Tompkins, the Pumalin National Park that it's starting. Then you have the, how do you say? Marble Caves.
Marble Caves. Marble Caves.
Yeah, the Marble Chapel, the Capilla de Mármol as well. And then Caleta Tortel, maybe. Maybe you've seen it in photos, that it's a little village that it's in by the ocean. And it's by a estuario, like a fjord. And that it's all built, everything, the highways, everything, it's made of wood. So that's also very, very beautiful.
Yeah, boardwalks, yeah.
Exactly. So what we did, it was driving from Puerto Montt and then going to Pumalin National Park. Then we went to Futaleufú. Futaleufú, it's a place that it's amazing for rafting, for example, hiking. Then we went down to Puyuhuapi. Puyuhuapi has a very famous hot springs. Also a lot of hiking in the area. Then we went down to Coyhaique and then Cerro Castillo. Cerro Castillo is another famous hike, beautiful. There's a lagoon over the mountains and a huge mass of massive mountain with snowy peaks. It's very, very beautiful.
And it looks like a castle, and that's why it's called
Castillo. Exactly, that's why it's called Castillo. Then we drove down to Puerto Rio Tranquilo. That's the place where the chapel...
Marble caves, yeah.
We did kayaking there. We do kayaking very early in the morning. Then keep going down. And then when you start seeing at the Baker River, that is just so beautiful, so magical. And you drive along this river that's... you see where it's born, then it's very blue, and then it gets mixed with the Neff River, and it's the tint, like the color changes. There's a place that is called the Confluencia, that a place that you could stop, and you see the two rivers mixing with each other. It's very nice. And then we went to Caleta Tortel, and when you're heading into Caleta Tortel, you see again the same type of... landscape that you see in Pumalin, that is like a jungle sort of thing. It's like the Valdivian forest that is like full of ferns, and it's so alive, it's so green, you know. Mm-hmm. You arrive to this little village and you stay in Tortel. We did that, and then we went all the way down to Villa O'Higgins,
which is the end of the road. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. After Cerro Castillo, it's all gravel road. So you need to have this type of car. And also being an experienced driver. Because if you never drove in a place like that, it's not like you wouldn't be able to do it, but I would recommend wherever you live to go and drive for a few couple of hours in gravel road if you've never done it in your life, because there's some things that could feel challenging if you've never done it. So then we go all the way back up at north and spend nights in different places, like not in the same village. So if in case somebody has the time to do that, it's possible to do the whole trip down and then the trip south, and then north, and spending the nights in other villages. So it's not spending in the same place.
Same, yeah.
And also you see the different landscape, because when you go in south, there's a lot of things happening on your back and you don't see that. So if you go back to north, you're going to see a totally different route. But most of people don't have so much time for that. You need a couple of weeks. You can do a bit that it's like from flying down to Puerto Montt, taking the car and just dropping it in Coyhaique, or starting in Coyhaique, you know, like doing like a circuit around the lake, General Carrera, mm-hmm. and then going back to Coyhaique. And there's people that do the whole one, all the way down, but then they drop the car in Coyhaique. So it is possible to do it shorter, depending on also the expectations of the people. You know, like if you want something more active, or if you want something maybe more landscapes and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's worth adding here too. Did you go to Keulat?
Yeah, we went to Keulat. That's in where the hot springs are in
near Puyuhuapi.
Yeah, that's in Puyuhuapi. Very close to Puyuhuapi. So usually you go to the hot springs and you go to the Keulat as well.
That the hanging glacier. Yeah,
it's an hour and a half to get up there to the point where you have the view of the hanging glacier. So it's about 3 hours, 3.5 hours the total.
That hike, that viewpoint is still to this day like one of the most beautiful single views I have ever seen. It feels like, I don't know, Pandora, Narnia, like it feels fake, because you get up to this point where you just see the mountains kind of curve away from you, and at the back of this view there's just this hanging glacier has a waterfall. There's a waterfall. There's like, you can see it calving because it falls, and it's like coming over from the edge of the mountain on the top. And so, and then the bottom, there's just this green lake that comes out from it. On a sunny day, it is reflected so colorfully. It's so beautiful. And then you're surrounded by ferns because you've hiked through like a rainforest to get there. There's all of these microclimates down in Patagonia that are surprising because they change so frequently as you're driving. But then you get like a little bit of everything. Like you get the hot and humid and rainy, and then you also get like the dry and sunny, and the desert even, like in Patagonia National Park, it's wild. But I want to point out that everything that he just mentioned down this, the Carretera Austral, down this route, if you take like a couple of weeks, the reason you take a couple of weeks and you don't drive more than 100 miles or whatever in a day is because there are so many places to stop and explore. And this is why when I was down there, I don't know how many like bikers or whoever you saw. I saw a lot of people on bikes, and even some people, well, not a lot. That's totally, relative, but bikers. And then I even met a couple of runners down there that were running the length of it. And that's super adventurous. However, I was just imagining if you're using all that energy along the road itself, then you don't have the energy to then go and explore all these side hikes. And so I think that taking a car is the perfect way to explore down there the entire length of Chilean Patagonia. That to me is like the ultimate trip. If you want to do the ultimate trip, oh, this is the one. Like, get the car, drive the length of the Carretera Austral, bring your hiking shoes, plan on taking a whole bunch of little detours to who knows where, get equipped with a tent so you can stay out on a beach if you want to, or in a forest, or, you know, because you can mix it up. You can stay, you can get a vehicle with it you can sleep in or on if you have like a rooftop tent, although with the wind down there, I'm not sure if I would recommend that. But you can, you don't have to just stay in hotels the whole way. In fact, I would recommend that you get off the beaten path at the beaten path. It's not even like it's that popular. It's very, there's not a lot of people down there, which is part of the magic of it. You just feel like you're kind of out there in, it's, it looks like Middle Earth, like by yourself. But these, the opportunities to hike to glaciers are unending. Like that's the thing that you do down there. Find glaciers, hike to them, waterfalls. There are some forests down there that are ancient, like super old growth forests. There are volcanoes. I mean, fjords, there's kayaking, like there's everything that you can do all along the way should you choose to accept that sort of mission. But this is my, isn't it just the best? That's like my favorite trip.
Yeah, well, Patagonia for me, it's my favorite. I love everywhere in Chile and Argentina, but Patagonia is definitely my favorite.
And what's funny is we didn't even get to like Southern Patagonia yet. Like all of this, what we were just talking about, all of this happens north of the Patagonia that you probably know listening because the like Torres del Paine National Park, all of that, and Isla Magdalena, even what he was talking about earlier, that's all southern Patagonia.
That's an hour flight down south from where we're speaking about. So
We've already traversed what, 1300 kilometers or something? What's the length of the Carretera Austral? 800 miles, something like that?
It's 1300, yeah.
Yeah. It's a long way, but it is such a cool trip. So the magic of one of the things that you guys can do is help plan these trips for people so that if, say, somebody does want to take a 3-week trip, maybe you spend a couple weeks driving Chilean Patagonia and then you hike for a week in the park afterwards. But you can do all the combinations. You can set everything up for people, right?
Exactly. So what we do, it's we understand the expectations of the traveler, what they want to do, and then we design a trip that it's tailor-made for them. So in this area, there's a few options. One option is to do like a self-drive. Mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't want to drive, there's other ways to do it as well. Like you could have a driver. You could have a group of people where you go from one point to the other. So there's other options. Definitely, it's a really good way to go and drive down there because Northern Patagonia is a place that I tell people that they should have time. They should be, open to things to happen. We can plan everything, you know, but there's other plan that Patagonia has for you, and that plan,
this is what
we
I
can't
say.
Do anything yes. about it, you know, like it's yeah. the weather, it's the people that you meet along the way, it's the animals that you see. So my recommendation for a trip like this is to have, of course, a good plan that we can help you with that, but having an open expectation about the trip, because just to tell you like a little case, I have a friend that she went down there last week. They wanted to do Cerro Castillo, but it was raining like so strong that they couldn't do it because sometimes they close the park, you know, and mm-hmm. that's the type of thing that you cannot plan. So they had to do like the B tour that it's going to one of my favorite places in Cerro Castillo, that we usually don't do it because the main one is the Laguna. So people need to have time to do both. So they went to the other one, that is Enios Holandés and Laguna Duff. And yeah, they okay. saw five budus. No, sorry, oh, five huemuls. Five huemuls in the same spot in by the river. And so that's the type of thing, like... you can't plan something like that to happen, and like the chance of seeing something like that is very difficult. And sometimes it's possible to move things during the trip. So if you're not able to do it that day, maybe we can turn around some activity or something, and when you're driving back, you're gonna be able to do the hike. But it's important to be like open and to see what's happening, what Patagonia it has for you, what the territory has for you. So, and everywhere, like you need to have that attitude, and stuff will have a different pace, you know, like the things that happen.
I love that you brought that up, because this exactly, almost word for word, how I say it, how I've said it for ages is, because I mean, you know, I design trips to Patagonia as well. And so for years, I have said, you know, we can do all the planning, we can get ourselves there, but then we have to let Patagonia kind of do her thing, right? And I love to say that within an itinerary, when you're creating an itinerary, to leave room for magic, because that will absolutely happen in Patagonia. I mean, I remember one time I was in Chiloé with Osprey. Actually, we were filming a documentary down there, and we went out into this bay because we saw these guys doing something in the bay. The tide was low, like out. And so they were harvesting something. And we just thought, we should see if we can go talk to these people. And of course, this wasn't on the itinerary. You know, we had been on the shore a few minutes before and we saw these guys. And we're like, what are they doing? Let's go find out, you know? And so we wander out there and it's kind of mucky. Like the sand is, you know, it's kind of getting thick and we're all trying to spreading out, trying to figure out how to get out to these guys. And this guy pulls up with an ox cart. I'm not kidding you. Like a wood, like ox cart. And they say hi to him and he's like saying hi to me. And he's like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, well, I just want you, because I speak Spanish, right? So I'm just saying, we just want to find out what's happening out here. We want to go talk to these guys. And he's like, we'll jump on. And so we jumped into the back of this ox cart and we got pulled out to where these guys were harvesting by oxen. Their names were I think their names were Bella y Feo. Like pretty and so ugly. Cool. And those were the two. I remember that. But that was exactly, I mean, that was day one of being down in Chiloé. And I was like, guys, this is why we leave room, because you never know what's going to happen. And then we ended up getting to talk to these guys and doing a little bit of filming with them and just seeing that, you know, this was the last harvest of the season and kind of learning about a little more about, you know, one of the traditions down in Chiloé, which is so exciting. But yeah, that's exactly what we're referring to, is the people that you're going to meet, the things that you're going to see, you can't account for it. And there's so much going on. There's life and just so much to see and explore. And it's really important to not have a super rigid itinerary and to keep a mindset of adventure, so that when these things happen, you know, it's like, okay, well, what's next? I mean, you never know what's around the other corner. Even if it's not what you had your sights set on, like there's something else that's going to make your day.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. I am looking at the time. Unfortunately, we're getting close. This is my favorite place. So of course, I feel like I could talk about this forever, but I do want to just open up people's minds a little bit more about thinking in the way that they can create a trip with you, because I really think, like, unless you have lots of time to go down and figure all these things out yourself and be there for like months, which, gosh, if you do, please go and do that, because it deserves it. This region absolutely deserves it. But if you don't and you kind of want to make things happen a little bit quicker, I want to open your mind to some ideas of ways that you could combine adventure trips down in Chile and Argentina. And since we're in the south right now, I'll start with, don't forget about Argentina, because you can also, from the Carretera Austral, you can cut over onto the Argentina side. You can go visit El Chalten, see Mount Fitzroy. All of that is in the same region once you get far enough south. And so you can combine, and Christian and his team can do this for you, combining the itinerary so that you can knock out, I mean, all these amazing places in one trip. And don't forget about the rest of Chile as well, because I want to give a quick shout out to Atacama. We didn't even talk about it, but the north of Chile is unreal. If you like stars, you absolutely must go there and do an astro tour of sorts and play around in the desert. But all of these places are very well connected via plane, I would say. Chile is very long and much of it is very remote, but it is set up to like there are domestic airlines that are constantly flying back and forth for relatively cheap between these places. And so like that's something you guys could connect. Like you could essentially do like a few days in Atacama and then maybe get some wine in the Santiago region and then go down south and get in your vehicle and drive and see all of Patagonia, return your car, and then end up doing a week hiking in Torres del Paine and then go to Isla Magdalena and see the penguins to bring it all home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like one of the trips that we organize. Usually people, they want to cover a lot of places. So we do the best to do that, but as well, having them connecting with the place. Like, we have people that want to go to Atacama for one day, but it is possible, of course, one night, but we don't recommend that or Australian. So if you get to us, we will recommend the minimum stay to be able to enjoy a place, and mainly because of the weather. So places like Patagonia, if you leave only like a window of 2 days to do an activity, you know, and you don't have more flexibility on moving the dates, maybe the day that you want to do Base Torres is going to be full clouds and you're not going to be able to do it. So that's why we insist and tell people, try to go Patagonia at least 5 days or more. If they don't have much more time, we can do it as well. However, we do have the recommended stay in each place, the length of the stay. And yeah, so Atacama, one of my favorite places as well. They, with Patagonia, I feel like they are similar in the remoteness and the vastness of the place. It's also a place that you get there, you don't have phone service everywhere. The distances are long. You are in high altitude, so you feel different. Your body feels different once you arrive there. And is it just a very different place to be? People, mainly from Europe, are very, very impressed about this place. I know that in the US, you have some desert, but this desert is so vast that you don't see people for so long. And also you have the native people that live there, that it's just so different how they live their lives. And it's the trips that we organize, the idea is that you have some interaction with the locals there, understand how they live. So yeah, it's a place that is very magical, and as you said, you can do stargazing. It's one of the places, one of the best places in the world to see the stars. We organize a few trips depending on the experience. Like, there's some people that know a lot, and so we get them a guide that it's for, like, for people that know advanced. A lot of advanced astronomy. Mm-hmm. And then we have for beginners as well, people that never been an experience like that, like looking through a telescope. That's one of the highlights of Atacama, and also just visiting some of the places. If the people listening now haven't been to Atacama, I would recommend to go to the Altiplanic Lagoons. You can see the flamingos, you can see the high altitude lagoons. It's really beautiful, like the colors of the sand and the colors of the water, the geysers. There's a place where you can see there's geysers in the States as well, I think, somewhere in
geysers. Yeah, in Yellowstone, my backyard. Geysers
in Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. yeah exactly.
Mm-hmm. But it's very Yellowstone-esque there. Uh-huh.
Right.
You
have Valle La Luna, that it's also a very, very beautiful place, very magical place, that it looks, it's like a landscape like the moon. That's why they call mm-hmm. it like that.
And you have the Marte too, like Mars.
Exactly.
There's another one that looks like Mars.
Another one that it looks like Mars.
You can go sandboarding. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So what I tell people that the main difference between going to places like this in Patagonia, in Atacama, if you come from a place like Europe or the States, is that it's underdeveloped. That means, at the same time, that the places that you visit are not so well prepared, like if you go into a hike in Europe, that you will have, I don't know, like a lift to get up to the top of a mountain or something like that, or a restaurant at the top of a mountain. That it's, I feel like it's something maybe nice, comfortable for most people that kind of reach that place. But at the same time, it tends to be very magical when you have a place that is still so wild. The wilderness, that you are in a place that you know that not much people have walked there. And this, you know, like there's no cell coverage and stuff like that. You really connect a lot with yourself. And Patagonia and Atacama Desert, they have that, the vastness and the openness of the landscape.
Absolutely. And the disconnected to the technology-ness. They share that too.
Yeah. Well, we have, you know, that our service is like, we start a conversation with people. It could take one phone call. It could take 6 phone calls, 48 emails, and I don't know, like a few chats in WhatsApp, until we reach that, we create that perfect trip for mm-hmm. the family, the couple, whoever's planning to come here. So we get people that are coming from a like very hectic life. So like they coming from New York, San Francisco, London, Frankfurt, whatever. And they have like a routine that it's like a lot of information in their work.
Yeah.
When they're commuting, they were everywhere. Like they're receiving data all the time, messages and stuff like that. So I really recommend going to a place like that to give yourself some peace for a couple of weeks and connect with yourself. It's very powerful, especially in these times.
That is exactly why I feel like I look back on that trip that I did that was like 2 or 3 weeks long in December of 2017 was when I did that trip down the Carretera Austral the first time. And that's why I felt the most free, because there was just no cell coverage. And sometimes when we would get to the little towns, there was no Wi-Fi either. So we would just go for days without, I mean, most, I think I don't know if we ever went more than about 3 days, but still going that long without anything, no messages, nothing. You know, we just have our GPS and our music and ourselves, our thoughts, like that's it. I also love, for example, that in Torres del Paine, that though the park does not have service. And I hope that for safety reasons, guides always have, you know, emergency radios and stuff. Like there's enough structure for safety. To be the client and choose to turn off the phone and not get the Wi-Fi. I mean, the refugios have Wi-Fi these days, but you don't have to get it, you know, and just to choose to be disconnected is, wow, it's a very powerful, very powerful option right now to just kind of disconnect and reset and reconnect with nature. In fact, there's a saying in Patagonia. It's like there's no Wi-Fi, but there's always connection, something like that. I can't remember it now, but
it's the one that is in a rush is losing their time. The one,
yeah. That's another one. Anyway. You guys get the picture. okay, so Christian, let's go ahead and share what our fun bonuses for everybody, because if you guys want to book through Eco Chile or Eco Argentina, let's first share what the website is where they can find you and follow you if they want to.
Okay, so ecochile.travel, so it's not .com, it's .travel. And the other one is ecoargentina.travel. It's... we are the same team, so it doesn't matter if you get through either one of the websites. And we will organize a trip to Argentina if you get through Eco Chile. It doesn't matter. And then you have two options. One is going into our trips, the itineraries that we have in the website, and you can use those as an inspiration. So if you use one of those, you can send an inquiry with that trip and say, I like this one. What I would like to add more days in this destination. I would like to remove this, whatever. And we can start working from that. And the other way is starting totally from scratch. And then we have a link that it's plan your trip. And you have a form that you fill out and that has a lot of information. You fill out a lot of information about yourself. And in the comments, the more you put in there, the better, because we understand about you, about your family, about your partner, whoever is coming, and why you're traveling. Sometimes people, it's coming because of an anniversary or something special, and we can create something special around that. And so when you do that, there's a drop-down menu that it says where you come from, how did you learn about us, and you can select Traveling Jackie Jump Adventures. And if you just decide to call us or to send us an email, you can just tell us. Just comment that you're coming from the blog or the website of Jackie.
And what does that get them?
That gets them a 5% discount in every trip. Doesn't matter the one they do. They just need to mention it. So before the booking. Okay, so The booking process, it could take weeks, it could take days, it doesn't matter, but they need to mention it before they book.
At the beginning, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That is so nice. Thank you again. I'll make sure that all those notes are in the show notes to make it easy for you to reference. So thank you, Christian. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing also, because I love the approach that you have to taking care of your clients and connecting them with locals. I feel like it's so important. It's such a huge part of travel to not just go and see a place, but to go and actually make it part of your story and learn what it is so that you have an opinion about it, so that you have a feeling about it, you know, so that you'll want to protect it and go to the next level of like joining in with the sustainability efforts of the region and everything that matters these days as we travel more off the beaten path and with locals. So it's been a real pleasure working with you too. And I'm excited for more and looking forward for our paths to cross again. And yeah, thank you so much.
Amazing. Thank you so much for inviting me. This was, I've never been to a podcast before, and this has been
you did
very,
great.
Very nice. I felt very comfortable. So yeah,
great.
I'm happy to share what we do and to work with you as well.